or the what of Christmas. To them, it's just about getting gifts, the frustration and whatever else. And still others who should have a firm grasp upon the significance of this historical record is one that we are no longer impressed with the story or the historical account, or no longer does it impress us. We acknowledge it with the air of familiarity and on into the hustle and the bustle to whatever events are on our agenda. There is a sense of, a long, long time ago, there was an event. It was way before my time, in a very far off place. And so we're not really touched. We're not really moved any longer or anymore. We've lost the amazing significance of this event. This event represents a plan that was set forth before this world was even formed. A plan fulfilled following the fall of man. A miracle specifically purposed for you and I. And a world that's willing to accept the message and the messenger. An event that set heavenly places alive with praise and adoration. All the events of the ages past, as well as in his time, and events yet to take place, all orchestrated by God with perfect timing. We're going to touch on a few of those things here very quickly here tonight. And at the same time, rather than taking various characters out, I want you to be able to perhaps maybe plug yourself in to these characters here and see if there isn't something that we can't pick out that we can make an application for ourselves. And so, in many places, the record will be read tonight, or they'll be acted out alive, or they'll be acted out in character form. The names, the people, the places, the animals, perhaps maybe the reason for the season, even why God chose whom he did in all the different characters that make up this event. Each individual is in the record from which we can glean important information about others, but mostly about ourselves. God just didn't choose the time and or the people for us to just kind of breeze over them and not glean from them or see something that we could challenge ourselves with through the scriptures. So tonight, where would we fit into just a couple of the characters? There's enough of them. We could be here for a while, but tonight we're not going to do that. But I want us to look at the first character here tonight, and that was back in Luke chapter 2, looking at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Two men. These two fall into a category unlike many today. We'd have to kind of call them clueless in a sense. Clueless about the spiritual significance. They had no idea why they would push this taxing at that particular point in time. They could have done it any time of the year. They could have done it at any place at any time. But these two, they had no idea that God was using them to fulfill Scripture. I mean, God was moving. God had this plan before the foundations of the world. And here we find he's moving two of the most powerful men at that time to tax. And the taxation would force Mary and Joseph to go to Joseph's hometown, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, in fulfillment of the biblical scripture. So their motive, whether you talk about Augustus or Cyrenius, their motive, taxes. Taxes means more money. Means more money in the coffers. But not a hint that God was moving them, the most powerful men of their day, to move one humble man and his wife to Bethlehem, where he, the Christ child, would be born. Even today, we find unsaved and saved alike who are really somewhat naive. Some might say clueless. I'm not trying to be demeaning tonight, but if we aren't studying God's word, let's face it, we really have no idea of God's purposes, of God's plans. He doesn't write them on the wall. He did for Daniel to interpret for the king at the time. But when we have no idea of God's purposes and God's plan, You're not going to find them anyplace else but in the Scriptures. Our ideas typically we offer with no biblical foundation other than, well, this is what I think. Well, who inspired those thoughts? Were those self-inspired? Did you happen to read something on Facebook or on the internet somewhere? Listen, the Word of God's infallible. The internet's not. So we have our ideas and we have our thoughts. Well, to be honest with you, our thoughts that are not scripturally sound and founded in Scripture are really nothing more than suppositions. What is a supposition? Well, suppositions are unfounded beliefs. It's just what you think. It's just what you feel. Well, I'm getting to the point now. I say, listen, if you're going to give me your thoughts, tell me what Bible you're using, first of all. That make a big difference. go on, and then you tell me what book and what chapter and what verse. And then we'll look at it and see, are those God thoughts or are they just simply your thoughts? God is very clear that this is not only wrong for us to offer up our thoughts without any biblical foundation. He is not going to honor them, nor is he under any obligation, just because you may be a nice person, to honor whatever your thoughts might be that are not biblically founded. He warned through the prophet Isaiah, the nation of Israel, for all of us to read. He said, your thoughts are not my thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. Well, number two is Mary. Excited about the event soon to take place. The nuptials, if you will, concerning Joseph, to whom she has been betrothed. And then an angel of the Lord appears, and as God commanded, he gave Mary some very, very great news. But one can only imagine the thoughts racing through Mary's mind. Wow, wait a minute. What is Joseph going to say? What's Joseph going to think? What will people say? The stigmatism that comes about with not being married and being pregnant. Who's going to believe that this is conceived of the Holy Ghost? Oh, then there's the law. Under the law, she should have been stoned. Joseph was a kind man, and we'll see him in a minute. And yet, here is a woman who, facing all of these possibilities, in Luke chapter 1, in verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. You know, many believers would have argued with the angel, you know what this is going to make me look like? I don't think this is a good idea. My cousin Elizabeth, they don't have any children. Why don't you choose her? Well, God has his divine reasons and God has his divine purposes for why he does what he does the way he does it. And if you really take the time to meditate and to think about it, you'll be able to reason that out and it'll make all the sense in the world. But you know, there's a lot of things that God expects of us, and there's a lot of things that God asks of us through the Scriptures, and unlike Mary, we don't say, hey, Lord, here am I. So she says, I'm the handmaid. Be it as the Lord will. We list off all the reasons why it should not be, why it should not be us. Remember Moses, when God tapped Moses to go back to Israel? Or back to Egypt, rather, and said, let my people go. Not me. He stammered and he hemmed and he hawed and one thing or another. A lot of us are like that man, Moses. A lot of us are unlike Mary, who simply was so surrendered and so yielded and so humble that said, Lord, regardless of the stigmatism, regardless of what people are going to say, regardless of what people are going to think, Lord, I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to accept your will for my life. Be it unto me according to thy word. The third one, as we look in closing here tonight, is Joseph. Having discovered his bride to be pregnant, the Bible says he was a good man. But he also had his own mindset. Because the Bible says that, if we look back in the book of Matthew very quickly, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 19. In verse 19, the scripture says, then Joseph, her husband, Now they had not been together as a husband and wife, but they had been betrothed to each other. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. He didn't understand it. He didn't get it initially. But he was a good man. But he had his own mindset, didn't he? He's like so many of us as well. We have the Word of God, and in it is all the divine knowledge and all the divine wisdom necessary to serve and to serve the Lord. Then we have our own mindset. I think the Lord understands her. You know, I've been down that road. Maybe this is what the direction the Lord was thinking about. Well, we can remember how that fared with Abraham and Sarah. It must be that God must mean this. It must be that this is the way God's going to work it out, and we need to help him along the way. The Word of God serves a wonderful purpose in our lives. And that is to keep us from acting on our own mindset and following the infallibly preserved Word of God. The unsaved refuse to believe in God's existence. The fool has said in the heart, there is no God. Some refuse to believe that we are saved by faith. I mean, they add this and they add that and they add all kinds of things to it. Not what the Bible says. The redeemed, good folks, go to church, read their Bibles, tithe, pray, and even do more. What is amazing is they still do those things with their own mindset. The angel came to Joseph to set his thinking straight. God has given us not only his word, but he has also given us the Holy Spirit to make sure that it is the mindset of the Lord that directs us and not our mindset trying to manipulate God's word or substituting our thoughts for God's thoughts and then walking away feeling that somehow we're doing what God wants us to do. Now, there are a number of others tonight, and I was thinking of the shepherds and how the angels came and brought them a message. And they could have hesitated and said, well, let's go in the morning. It's kind of dark tonight. Or they could have said, you know, let's stay by the fire because it's going to be a little bit of a trek down here. It's going to be cold. Or they could have said, you know what, we haven't had a bath. We've been out here in the field. We're going to smell like a field. We're going to go in there and you know, maybe it's not. No, the Bible says they got up and they said, now let us go. Let us go. How many times has the Lord spoken to us about moving forward? And we've hemmed and we've hawed. And we've kind of kicked and, well, we've all these excuses. So tonight, these and other real life characters, historical figures in the historical record, I would encourage you to spend some time looking over Luke chapter 2, actually chapter 1, chapter 2, and looking at a couple of those other characters there and seeing somehow if you can't draw something from them that maybe you yourself have been guilty of. And God's been trying to speak to you, say, you see, this is how they responded, but you're not responding that way. And see if any of them may represent us in one way or another. And that's the idea of plugging ourselves in to this historical record. What would you have done if you had been there and you did not know what you know today? How would you have responded? How are you responding even today? Never forget, God is under absolutely no obligation to honor our independent thinking, our independent thoughts that have no bearing in or on the Word of God. So don't delude yourself. 2019 is around the corner. Let's make sure we do what's right in 2019. Amen? Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for this time we could be together. And Lord, in just a few moments, we're going to sing one of the most beautiful hymns written, Silent Night, Holy Night. But Lord, it is my prayer tonight that each and every one of us, whether here in the sanctuary, those who have gathered to join us at home, Lord, we pray tonight our hearts will be wide open to allow your word and the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And Lord, the many and the myriad of excuses we have been offering up throughout this year of 2018, the reasons why we can't do this and the reasons why we can't do that, or, Lord, why we shouldn't serve you here, why we shouldn't serve you there. Lord, I have no doubt that many of us would be different in that record. You wouldn't have been able to count on us. But, Lord, we know that we don't have to be that way. 2019 can be a whole different year for us. Lord, won't you guide and won't you direct? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, not a soul looking around. I'm wondering tonight, very quickly, first and foremost here tonight, if you were to grade yourself for your walk with God during 2018, and then God grade you, would the grade be the same? Would you get an A, a B, a C, or a D? How would God grade it? I believe that we can know in our hearts, because based on the Word of God, we know what God says and what God thinks. I would trust and pray that 2019 finds us getting good marks, good grades, for being the children of the Lord that He'd have us to be, sons of the King. Father, again, we thank You for this time we can be together tonight. Lord, continue to speak to our hearts. A little bit different message, a little bit different Christmas Eve service. But Lord, the record remains the same. Lord, there were those who were clueless. There were those who were naive. Lord, there were those who were indifferent. And there were those who were obedient. There were those who were accepting of Your word. May we be those who are accepting and obedient. And Father, we give You the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there is silent light. There is a sheet there. But let's, first of all, we've got candles up here. And we will work that. I'll move this in front. And if we would come from the outside and go up the center aisle, that would be great. So you come in this side, grab a green light, two candles at the same time. If the candle goes out, light it off someone else's. Can we have those lights back here, Justin? Thank you.
Gabriel, this way. Oh, yeah. There we go.
Two candles and light them at one time.
All right, we're in trouble. No, I can't see. I'm not sure.
Tonight we'll sing all four stanzas of Silent Night.
Let's sing.
Than it is in the book. They reverse the last two stanzas. That's why I got a little bit confused there, But Brother Jim, would you close in prayer for us tonight?
Our Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the meaning of the service tonight. So, Father, we pray that your will would be done. I pray, Father, that you'd be with each and every one as we go our separate ways tonight. Lord, you put a watch care over each and every one to get them home safely. So, Father, we pray now that if there's one or more here that's never accepted you, Father, this will be the night that they will receive the greatest gift that they've ever received. So, Father, bless me each and every need now. We'll thank you and praise you for what you do in Christ's name. Amen.
To each and every one, a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
Amen.